for those of you who might not know, our theme for this year is In Love with Jesus. And one of the things that has really been on my heart as I thought about this whole thing of being in love with Jesus is, what does that look like? And I was noticing in the song, just as I don't think it ever stood out to me like it did this morning. The song says, just as I am, thy love unknown has broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come. That sounds like a love story to me. And I think that's the point that I want to share with us this morning, that I want us to get a hold of, that the message that I shared several weeks ago was the fact that being in love with Jesus starts with the fact that God first loved us. And I think we have to go from there. God first loved us. What is our response? And that's what that song talked about. Because of that love that you had first, now I respond. Every song we sang this morning had the message in that I want to share with you. We have an anchor. It talked about the cable passed from His heart to mine. That's love. Each of the songs had that thought in it, that message in it. And I want us this morning, as we think about this whole thing of what does loving God look like? I want to be in love with Jesus. So I want us to look at a story. We noticed this in the last message just briefly, but I want us to focus on this story this morning. It's found in three scriptures, and I want to read all of these. Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 48, I want to read first. I'd like you to turn there and follow with me. I'd like you to pay attention. And children, on your notes, there's a number of questions that are answered in these scriptures. I'm not necessarily going to point them out in the message, but they're answered in there. And I want you to pay attention to what's going on in this story. One of the Pharisees, Luke chapter 7, verse 36, one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it. And he spake within himself. He's talking to himself, he's not out loud, he's thinking, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee. What had Simon said to Jesus? Huh? No, what had he said previous to this? Nothing. So how is Jesus answering him? Jesus knew his thoughts, right? He thought he said it to himself, but Jesus knew what was going on too, right? Simon said to himself, spake within himself, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is. She's a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say to you. And he said, Master, say on. And so Jesus tells him a story. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? And this was one of the things that we had brought out in the message last time. Whoever's forgiven much loves much. But I want us to look at some more of this story today. Simon said, well, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. And he said to him, you made a right judgment, a right call. You figured it out. And he turned to the woman and said to Simon, he's looking at the woman, but he's talking to Simon. He said, you see this woman? I entered into your house. You gave me no water for my feet. She's washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. You didn't give me a kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil you didn't anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Wow. Did Jesus answer Simon's questions that he was stirring in his mind? Absolutely. Now, let's go over to Matthew chapter 26. Verse 16, or 6 to 13, this is the same story recorded by another writer. And you might notice just a few little variations here in these stories. Some people would say, well, the Bible contradicts itself. It doesn't add up. But just stop and think about this. If three of us this morning were writing about what happened here this morning in church, would it be possible that some things might look a little differently from each other's perspectives? So that's what's happening here. Three different men that were involved in this. You'll notice that as we read here. Jesus was in Bethany, Matthew 26, verse 6, in the house of Simon the leper. Oh, wait a minute. So we know three things already about this guy, right? What are the three things we know about him now? He's a Pharisee. What else do we know about him? His name's Simon. A leper. Well, if he's a leper, why are people here? Apparently, Jesus had healed him somewhere along the line. We know one more thing about him. What's that? Well, yeah, but I'm talking about obvious facts. There's one more fact about Simon that we notice in this verse. Where does he live? Bethany. Who else lived in Bethany? Lazarus, Mary and Martha and Lazarus, they lived in Bethany also. Remember? And there came unto him a woman. This is happening in Simon's house. There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment. What's that mean? Big bucks. Right? She didn't just go out to the dime store and get this ointment, this perfume. She had went and got the best that was available and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. Now notice something here. When his disciples saw it, They had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? She wasted it, just dumped it out, and there was no good value from it, like you would normally expect from a whole bottle of perfume. This ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall this also that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. Now let's go over to Mark chapter 14, verse 3. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of spikenard, of ointment of spikenard, very precious. She brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why is this waste of the ointment made? It might have been sold for more than 300 pence. So there were told the value of what this woman had given, and had been given to the poor, and they murmured against her, and Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but ye have me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. Interesting phrase. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of a memorial of her. Let me ask you something. Do you think Job loved the Lord? What do you think? Yeah, Job had problems. He had difficulties, but I believe Job loved the Lord. And the Lord loved Job. Now, let me ask you something. We're going to think about this. I want us to think about this in a comparative and actually a contrasting sense this morning. Have you ever seen anybody in love? Of course we have. How do they act? Are they always smart? Sometimes love makes you do some stupid things, right? We just know that love affects a person's life, right? What changes when you're in love? If you're in love, what changes within you compared to not being in love? Come on. Some of you are supposed to be there, and you've been there. Huh? Okay, priorities change. Things get different, doesn't it? I've worked with some guys, and I hear some conversation, and they talk about this guy. He's in love now, and he just don't have his priorities right. He's not getting all his work done like he should have. He's thinking too much about other things, He's got this love thing on his mind. Things begin to change when we're in love, right? And I want us to just think about what those things are. Are you in love with Jesus this morning? That's a pretty serious question. I think it's an important question. That's what we're thinking about this year. Being in love with Jesus. Is that happening in my heart? Do I know what that is? How do you know? How do you know if you're in love with Jesus? Well, we're going to look at this story and we're going to get some lessons, some things that can help us to understand. What should a person's life look like if they're really in love with Jesus? We might have some ideas that aren't exactly what they should be. Do you think Simon thought that he was in love with Jesus? Maybe not Jesus, but definitely God. He thought he loved the Lord God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. I have no doubt about that. He was a Pharisee. Now let's just look at some things. I put this in a chart. Those of you that went through the class on Bible study, remember that some things are work out well with a chart. So I did this as a chart. And what I've got there on the left side is, this is Simon, the Pharisee, the religious conservative. On the right side is this woman of the city, scumbag, prostitute, despised, dirty. In fact, if you notice, when we were reading, that was the description that God gave of her. There was a woman of the city, she was a sinner. And Simon looked at her and he said, doesn't this man know this woman's a sinner? But I want us to think about this. I want us to just stop and think. Here's the Pharisee, Simon, probably had experienced a miracle. We're not told that exactly, but I kind of assume that. He probably had experienced a miracle in his life of healing from leprosy. And I have no doubt he praised God for that. It was a man that as a Pharisee, everything was right in his life according to the way he understood the law. But there's a problem. Simon doesn't love the Lord Jesus Christ with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. So we have this woman. And don't misunderstand me, and I'm not trying to say that we should pattern our life after this woman. But I want us to realize that just because I look at you or you look at me, we don't necessarily see whether a person loves the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength or not. It's not always apparent on the surface. And the other thing that I want us to see in this is, I want us to stop and think that just because we have a checklist that we can go down and we can check. You remember the Pharisee that prayed? Oh Lord, you know that I give tithes of everything that I possess. You know that I pray every day. You know that I fast every week. You know that I... Just because we can go down a checklist and say these are all things that we do, and have another checklist over here that says these are things we don't do, does not mean we're in love with Jesus. We've got to stop and take a look. And we've got to allow the Spirit of God to speak to our hearts and have us look, am I in love with Jesus today? Simon probably was a wealthy man. The fact that he was inviting a special guest like Jesus into his house would probably indicate that. I'm making some assumptions here, but there's also some things that would indicate that. He invites Jesus for dinner, for a meal, but he also invites him because he has questions. That, you remember, the Pharisees were really good at that. They just kept coming after Jesus with questions all the time and trying to discern where this man was and who he was and what he was doing and what he was about. Because we spend time with Jesus does not mean we're in love with Jesus. We've got to be clear. We've got to understand. That's one of the things that being in love causes us to do, but it's not the only thing. It has to go deeper. The contrast here is this woman. She's poor. But she brings to Jesus a very expensive gift. She brings to Him adoration. She brings to Him service. She worships at His feet for a continued length of time. I think there's something there for us to stop and think about. Now, there's a possibility that this woman was Mary, the sister of Lazarus. We know that could be. I'm not sure exactly about that. It's possible. But we do know that Mary, the sister of Lazarus, also understood this. Remember? Jesus was to their house for lunch also. And her sister Martha was all worked up about getting this meal around. I mean, he was a special guest, right? And Mary's just sitting there worshiping at the feet of Jesus, just being in His presence and enjoying that time with Him. And her sister comes to Jesus and said, "Lord, tell my sister to come help me." And He says, "Mary's chosen the good part. It won't be taken away." She was in love with Jesus. Now it's interesting. This Pharisee, the one who knew the law, the one who taught the law, the one who involved himself in interpreting the law and adding to the law, did not even show Jesus common courtesy. I haven't quite figured out what all that's saying. That he didn't, was he suspicious of Jesus? Was he afraid that he would involve himself in something that I don't know. He didn't even have his servants come and wash the feet of Jesus, which would have been a normal procedure in that time. And Jesus reminded him of that, and we'll look at that in just a minute. But the woman, on the other hand, went overboard. Isn't that what love causes you to do? When we're in love, we just go overboard, don't we? We almost lose control, in a sense. So there's, you know, here's the clean, the Pharisee, this clean man that, according to the law, ceremonially, he was clean and he was not going to be defiled with the presence of this sinner woman. And here's this sinner woman, an unclean, coming and worshiping at the feet of Jesus, pouring out her life. We could go into how she earned the money to buy this ointment and all of that. But I just want us to think about, here's the Pharisee. He despises the woman. She's a sinner. And he despises Jesus because he's allowing this woman to touch him. And here's the woman at Jesus' feet. She's unworthy, but she's adoring. She just can't stop worshiping. She just can't stop being in His presence, enjoying her time here with Jesus. She came here to see Him. I don't know what all the logistics were, but she knew that Jesus was going to be here. And she came because she wanted to be with Him. Simon wanted to be with Jesus too, but it wasn't a love relationship. It was an adversarial relationship. He wanted Jesus just so he could discuss and deal with the law and those kind of things. Simon was so knowledgeable of the law. He knew every intricate detail of the law. And he interpreted it and applied it in so many ways that were beyond the law. And here's a woman. She's a sinner. She's condemned. But she loves. Simon was forgiven little or nothing. The woman was very undeserving, but we notice what happened. She received forgiveness of sin. All her sins were forgiven. Jesus met her because of her longing to be with Jesus. Now I want us to just look at this other chart here, and I want us to just think about, this is what the Scripture says. Simon, Jesus told him this, Simon, you gave me no water. You gave me no kiss. You gave me no oil. Simon, you get no forgiveness. Woman, she washed Jesus' feet with her tears. She shared many kisses. And just, Jesus said she just couldn't stop kissing his feet. She poured out this precious ointment all over Jesus. Wasted it. Just dumped it out as an expression of appreciation from a heart that had been soiled, dirtied, impure by the experiences of life. But she came to the source of life and hope. And she experiences all her sins forgiven. Awesome. I just want us to think about this, how this fits together. When we're in love with Jesus, there's going to be a resulting service. We're going to have this longing, this desire to serve Him because we love Him. We sing that song, I will serve Thee because I love Thee. And that's the desire of a heart in love, to serve. If you don't have whatever feelings you might have in your heart towards someone, if you don't have a heart to serve them, you don't have a heart of love. I'm sorry. You got a heart of lust. Our desire when we love is to serve. Simon had no desire to serve. Yeah, he had him there for a meal, but it's obvious that his desire was not to serve. The woman could only serve because she had that love. Even though she hadn't known Jesus, even though she hadn't known what it meant to be in relationship with Him and have her sins forgiven, she had a longing and a love and a desire to serve. Her affections were toward the Lord. You know, it's so interesting, and we'll talk about this, but there she is, she's just pouring out her heart to Him. All of her affection is directed at Him. It doesn't matter who's there. It doesn't matter what other people are doing. Her affection is for Him. Simon had no affection. He knew all the facts. He understood totally what the law said and understood what the Messiah was supposed to be and all of that. But he had no affection for this one, Jesus. And it's interesting, Simon doesn't find freedom, but the woman experiences freedom as a result of her love for Jesus. I think we should ask ourselves, what does love for Jesus look like? Is my life about serving Him, or is my life about me? Is my affection for Jesus, or are my affections divided and spread out to all kinds of things that never satisfy. My adoration. Do I sit at the feet of Jesus and just worship? When I think of the debt that He forgave because of His love for me. And do I experience freedom in my heart as I worship, as I love, and as I experience His love? You know, it's interesting. Exactly what Simon saw in the law did not happen in Simon's heart. But exactly what he saw this woman violating the law happened in her heart. She loved the Lord with all her strength, all her heart, all her mind, all her soul. Simon with none of those. I think it's just such an interesting thing, a picture here to look at. When I started thinking about this whole thing of love and this story, the first word that came to my mind was lavish. Lavish. I don't know how long it took this woman to earn this money to buy this ointment. Obviously, from the story and her past, she must have put some forethought into this. Because it wouldn't be the type of thing that she could have earned in a few moments, in a few days. But to think of her taking what she had worked so hard, given her heart and her life to earn, and pouring that out in a moment on Jesus. I think about the rich man, the rich young man, rich young ruler. Came to Jesus and Jesus said, "One thing you lack. Go sell everything that you have and give it to the poor and then come follow me." It was too lavish for the rich young ruler. He didn't love that much. It was too much. But you know what? When we're really in love, there's nothing too much, is there? You take a young man in love with a woman and there's just nothing too much. He's ready to go into debt if it needs to be, so that he can give her something that she desires. It's not too much. Why? Because he's in love, right? And for this woman, because of the love that she had in her heart, it wasn't too much. In fact, it probably in her mind wasn't even enough. You remember the widow there in Mark 12 and Luke 21 that put her two mites into the temple treasury? The disciples were there and they were watching, and people were coming by and placing their offering in the basket. And they watched a lot of rich people walk by and put pretty big chunks of money in. And they watched this one widow come in. She put two pennies. That was lavish. That was all she had. Everything. When we're in love, the word lavish is an important word. It's the perspective of love. The people around that looked said, "That was stupid. That was dumb. What? if she wanted to do something with this ointment, she could have at least sold it and it could have been given to the poor. But you know what? Her object of love was the Lord Jesus. And there was nothing too much to give for Him. I notice also she was consumed. Totally, we would say totally smitten. When we relate it to a love experience, it's the mindset of love, this idea of being consumed. It's what we call focused. She couldn't think about anything else. She didn't care about anything else. It didn't matter to her if it was Simon's house. It didn't matter to her who else was watching. It didn't matter to her what the disciples were thinking or saying and telling her to get out of here and let Jesus alone. It didn't matter. She was consumed with love for Jesus. And she was adoring. Jesus was the focus of her love. There were no other loves. And this story becomes even more beautiful when you think about it. Here was a woman who had sought for love all of her life, longed for love, and now in Jesus she finds love. And she can't stop adoring. She just kisses His feet and lays there on the floor and worships because she's in love. I don't know how the Spirit's speaking to you this morning. But He really spoke to me as I thought about this message. It's easy to say, I love Jesus. What does that look like? What does it look like in my life? What have I lavished on Jesus? How consumed am I with Jesus? How much adoration and worship do I give to Jesus? Let's just bow our heads. Let the Spirit speak to our hearts. I'm just going to open it up. If someone has something that you want to share this morning, maybe we could have Mike ready. Someone, if the Lord spoke to you and you have something that you'd like to share, I'll just give you that opportunity.
pray?
Let's stand together for prayer. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for that cord that passes from your heart to ours, that cord of love. We thank you that you loved us first, even while we were yet sinners. And Lord, you've given us this story to help us to understand what it looks like to be in love with you. And I pray that your Spirit speak to each of our hearts according to each of our needs, that we could be more in love with you, that you might be our passion, that you might be the one that we adore, that we might lavishly give and serve for your glory, that we might be consumed, dear Lord, with your presence and with who you are. We'll give you the praise and the glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.